to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Welcome to Shoot the Defence on FNX, brought to you by My Sportswear, Youth Energy and Save Association. I'm your host, Stel, and joining me is one of Save Association's co-founders, Ian Ackley. Ian, great to have you on the show, mate. Thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule. You've got a lot on at the moment, haven't you?
Yeah, we are. We're rather busy heading to the launch. It's I wouldn't say it's frantic, but it's certainly keeping me busy, that's to say the least.
Yeah, well, 3 days beforehand, I think that's an understatement, isn't it? Busy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But it's all good. It's all going in the right direction, and it's all heading where we want it to, so I'm looking forward to it.
Great stuff, great stuff. Mate, well, look, for the benefit of our listeners who aren't familiar with Save Association, can you explain what it's all about and the aims and objectives?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we came together really almost by accident, to be honest with you. Myself and three other people, Dave White, Paul Stewart and Derek Bell, have been meeting up at Wembley with the FA since November regarding the football allegations. And that's been around two things, really, essentially. Looking at the victims and survivors package, what can be done for those that have come forward. And also looking at safeguarding for children and vulnerable adults, and specifically talking around particular areas of concern or things that we wanted to address where we felt there might have been gaps or things that could be improved. The thing about what we're doing is that not just what we're trying to achieve, but also how we're trying to do that. So at Save, we've said that we won't just default to criticism. You know, we will work transparently across various organisations collaboratively as much as we can in order to improve the landscape for children and vulnerable adults and the issue of safeguarding. And what we're doing is we're actually coming forward with some proposals and some solutions or ideas as to where ideas can be implemented and things can be improved. And the Save Association has started with effectively 11 charter points, which will be our 11 main starting areas of concern, if you like, or areas we want to address. And we've also got a list of issues that, like, that are parked on the bench, ready to come into play as and when any of those other issues have been dealt with, or it's time to move on to something else. So there's everything in there from the notion of responsibility to all, mandatory reporting, criminal record checks, incident reporting protocols, unaffiliated junior football. We've got education and accreditation, victim support, victim engagement, judicial system, and victim liaison. And also, last but not least, mental health, a really big topic within the whole field, I think, cuts across the whole area. And I think the other one I probably didn't mention was induction and parental engagement. So there's sort of the 11 starting points and various things that we're looking at that we're addressing at the moment. And we're in conversations with, and like I say, we laid out clear objectives in those different categories, and are in ongoing discussions with the FA and various other organisations such as Premier League and Football League and Sporting Chance and the PFA, to name just a few. So that's generally sort of where we're coming from and what we're trying to do as a starting point.
Right, so these charter points, are these things that you guys will be supporting yourselves, or will you be recommending people to go to different sources, so to speak?
Yeah, very good point. Well, both, actually. We're not pretending that we are the experts, not by any stretch of the imagination. So, for example, on the issue of mandatory reporting, we would signpost and recommend people look at Mandate Now's website. They are the go-to pressure group leading this whole campaign around the introduction of mandatory reporting on suspicions or knowledge of abuse in regulated activities, and that's where we get our information from, and that's where we've done our research, and that's where I've been speaking to Tom Perry for Mandate now over the recent months to educate myself and ourselves on this really important issue. So there's an example of something where we would promote it, and we will actively be lobbying Parliament and government through various means and associates that we have. But equally, we're not going to say, look, we're the go-to people and experts. We're saying go to Mandate now, because that's the organisation that will actually steer you in the right direction and give you the right information. They're the experts. Then on the other side of things, if we look at, for example, victim support, then that's something that we have been actively contributed to the survivor package that the FA are now rolling out through Sporting Chance and the PFA. So that's something that we've directly affected and had a part in contributing to. So it's really a mixture, and it's about what's appropriate for which subject, and it's about doing the most appropriate thing for that particular subject area to get the most effective change or the most effective piece of work done. Mental health may be something that we can, again, directly contribute to having some input and improving provision on and raising awareness and education around. Equally, it may be that there's some lobbying that needs to be done, and we wouldn't take on, if you like, the support of those victims or their mental health issues ourselves. We're not counsellors and therapists, so therefore we'd signpost to the appropriate people. And I think for us it's about recognising that, you know, we're just four ordinary guys that have got limits to what we can do, and we need to recognise where we have knowledge and where we don't. And where we don't, we need to make sure we signpost to the relevant organisations so that people have got the right information. And that we hope to put all on the website, if you like, as a portal and a conduit for people to be able to tap into and use as a resource in both respects.
The thing is, Ian, it's not just about football, though, is it? Because people are going to get the wrong impressions. You know, they see the logo with the football pitch, and they see four former footballers promoting the Save Association. You've obviously got Mental Health, as you mentioned. You've got Mind Charity, who obviously, you know, they're supporting mental health and whatnot. And then you've got the Mental Health FA, who are like a football initiative for adults experiencing, you know, mental health and all that kind of stuff. So you're not just focused on, it's not football-centric, is it? It's just football.
No. Yeah, what this is we hope to do is, obviously, our experience is through football. So it makes sense that that is our platform. But it's very much that, it's a platform. And what we hope is that, if you like, ultimately, at the end of the day, we hope we can leave a legacy where, cutting across all these areas of concern or particular subjects, that it's not just football that can tap into the resources and the information, but also any sport, any regulated activity, and then even further right across, and anybody that it affects in society. Mental health cuts across us all and impacts us on us all, you know, in daily life, regardless of it being in sport. So if there's information that we can put out there and the signposts that we can have for people to access, it makes it easier for people, then we'd all be all for that, really.
Fantastic. Well, mate, I know that you do a bit of coaching in the local area. For the benefit of our listeners who are coaches themselves and whatnot, how can they protect themselves? What's your advice?
Well, I would say that make sure, first of all, that you attend all of your sports organisations' safeguarding training. Don't just do the statutory piece, which is the might be the welfare course or safeguarding course, in order to keep your coaching badge live, but do the additional bits as well. So I coach in rugby league, so there's embedded the pathway, which is not what you coach, it's how you coach it. So how you come across, how you speak to people, the language you use, being encouraging, not being about winning. That sort of thing gives good practice. They've also got another one called Time to Listen, which basically, you know, it encourages coaches to listen to the young people and children that they're coaching and see what they want from the sport. So actually do the extra training. Don't just do the minimum required that your sport actually offers you. See what else there is out there and get yourself informed. And, look at what the information is. Get out there and do the research and have a look what best practice is. So, you know, make sure that you understand the basics. Don't transport a child on your own in a car and leave yourself vulnerable to not only people thinking that you might be doing something, but actually putting yourself at risk. It's about protecting yourself as a coach as well as much as protecting the young people and vulnerable adults that you're giving your time up for. Don't expect and don't wait for the club or the organisation to come to you. You go to them and ask them as a coach, what is there that I can do? What training is there? And try and get everybody involved in the club. You know, get parents involved, get the volunteers more involved, get the children involved, get the committee members involved, and get communication going at the club and actually raise the awareness and start looking at how you can bring the subject of safeguarding and well-being and young people's health and mental health into the centre of sport. You know, don't pin it on to the outside of what your club's doing. Try and get your club and encourage them to put it square and centre, hopefully on the club's website, so that information is free for everyone to get. And hopefully that way, as a coach, you can improve what you do, deliver a better coaching session, and the parents and the children can be more confident that not only are their children going to be kept safe while they coach, but actually what's been delivered is being delivered in an appropriate and relevant way.
That's right, I agree. And what about parental engagement? Because obviously, you know, you and I, we're both parents. We have a responsibility to look after our children. Is this something that isn't drummed into kids' heads? Or, you know, are parents standing back and just kind of ignoring the matter? What would you reckon?
Well, I don't think, you know, I think when we go and take our children to sports clubs, essentially we're going there for the sport. And for a lot of people, and we've got to remember this, people being taken advantage of, children being taken advantage of, is actually a small proportion in society. You know, we need to make sure that we don't scaremonger here and make this like that. You know, all the coaches and all the clubs out there are really poor. That's not the case. There's an awful lot of excellent work that goes out there. So first, I'd say we need to remember that we keep it proportionate. But having said that, because it isn't the main focus within sport, then I think there's a certain percentage of parents that just take for granted that when you go somewhere, that it will be a safe place and that it's the practice is good. And I would encourage parents, actually, to ask the questions at the club, to go at the point of joining and say to the coaches and the staff there and the volunteers, you know, what do you do with regards to safeguarding? What is your policy? If I've got a concern and I'm worried about something, how do I report that and who do I report that to? Or where do I go to outside of the club if I'm not confident in reporting to the club? And this is about getting parents really sort of informed and getting them to understand that actually it's their responsibility as much as the club to keep their own children safe. So encourage those parents to have a say in the club and to ask the questions as to what the club is doing, and try and get the parents involved in some of the decisions that are made and some of the rules and regulations around how the club operates and practices. And that's, you know, really sort of saying to parents, don't just use us as a babysitting service where you drop your kids off and they have a bit of coaching and off you go. Maybe you sit on the sidelines or do a bit of shopping and pick them up. Actively involve yourself in the clubs that your children are involved in. And like I say, don't get me wrong, I know there are an awful lot of really conscientious parents out there that do that. I think that's fantastic and it's worth celebrating that is the case. But equally, you know, I don't think we can just rely on everybody's moral compass to be in the right place. Therefore, the more parents we can encourage to get involved and informed and aware of the relevant issues or concerns, then the more pressure you can put on clubs or the the more we can push that the social change towards this being common practice for parents to ask these questions as a matter of course.
Mm. The thing is, Ian, it's interesting you use the word scaremongering, because that leads me on to my next question, in the sense that, do you ever think that CSA awareness will actually ever be involved in or included in the curriculum at schools? Because obviously, you don't want to scare people off the subject, so to speak. Whereas at the same time, you don't want people to think, it's something that we shouldn't really be discussing, but we should at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, it does need to be proportionate, but at the same time, I think that awareness does need to be raised. And I think education, through all regulated activities, obviously schools being the biggest one that children spend the most time at, and actually the one where most reports come from, it is something that I think does need looking at. That educational awareness around keeping yourself safe as a child, and knowing that it's okay to report a concern or say something to somebody is really important, whether that be a friend at school or an older child that you trust or an adult that you trust. But the essential thing is that children need to know that it's okay to tell somebody there's a problem, and therefore education and awareness programs, I think, are an essential part of that. That'd be at schools, sports clubs, that can be scouts, guides, trampolining, judo, you name it, whatever the regulated activity is, that there should be awareness and education programs in place. And I think that should be essential, that the education department, that's a core part of that. And that's something that I would hope in the future that can be worked on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, look, nowadays we're seeing more and more CSA survivors speak out about their experiences, which obviously can only be a good thing. Now, I know Daniel Taylor and Matt Dickinson were brave enough to attack the taboo subject that's childhood sexual abuse in football, but are you happy with the overall coverage from the media?
Well, I think that, again, it's a difficult one to answer, really. I mean, as with all things in the news, there's always other stories and things that come on. That's the nature of it. There's also the restrictions that are put in place when there's maybe a particular live case going on, that people, are not able to say anything in the media, and quite rightly so, because you don't want to, create a situation where there's subjudice, or contamination of evidence or collusion or anything like that. The most important thing is that when there's a live case, that there is a conviction got. Therefore, if it means that there needs to be a restriction on media reporting until such a time that that case is finished, then I think that's completely appropriate. So I think that in a lot of cases, the amount that the reporting that can be done is very restricted, on particularly when there is a live case going on. I've got to say, personally speaking, this time around, lots of interest from the media. It's a stark comparison to what I experienced 20 years ago, which was an almost whitewashed blanket denial that this could even be happening, and there was virtually, well, in fact, I don't remember doing a single interview except for the dispatches program I did. There wasn't one single newspaper or television or any media source that followed it up and had any interest whatsoever. So in comparison to that, I can say that we've moved on tremendously, and the coverage is far greater. I do think that what we do need to do is keep the momentum going and keep the subject of CSA in the mainstream media, and any way we can do that by either highlighting other examples where the victims need support or the systems have failed is something that should be reported on. And equally, where there are measures that are being taken and things are changing and improving, I think that equally we need to celebrate that as a success when something's achieved and, say, for example, a gap was closed. An example of that would be if we managed to get a change in the DBS system that is, in my opinion, woefully inadequate and not fit for purpose currently. If we could get that changed, then to report on that change and celebrate that is something that, again, would I think would be newsworthy. So I think we need to keep promoting it. And keep pushing the subject. But I do think there is now more of a willingness from the media to accept that this actually is something that cuts across the whole of society, and as such, they have a responsibility to report upon it.
Absolutely, I agree wholeheartedly. So, we're on the subject of coverage and creating awareness. Tell us about the Save Association launch that's taking place on Friday.
Yeah, well, it's up in Worsley in West Manchester at the Novotel there. We starting off at 2 o'clock with a press release, and there'll be an opportunity for press that are coming to ask questions and have any one-to-one interviews if they want it till 4, and then from 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock we are having a more informal couple of hours where guests are invited, family, friends, and either other colleagues, associates, heads of organisations, which will be a networking opportunity for people to come and hear and speak to us, hear what we've got to say and speak to us about any particular areas and subjects that they're interested in. And then from 6 o'clock onwards, it will be a social event, which will be more of a relaxed affair for people just to sort of like celebrate the end of the day and the launch of Save.
Great, and will there be much media coverage, do you think?
We're hoping so. Waiting on a few final confirmations, but I've had quite a few journalists from various sources contact me and assured me that they will be there. So we're hoping that there will be TV coverage, fairly sure that there will be TV coverage there, for a couple of channels at least. And we know of several newspaper media sources that will be coming along and attending, so we're hoping that the response will be good. With all things, nothing's guaranteed. If a huge something breaks on Thursday evening or Friday morning, then we understand that will obviously take precedence, and quite rightly so. But yeah, so far the response has been extremely positive.
Great. And do you guys have maybe a 5 to 10 year target? Is it just play it by ear, so to speak?
Well, at the moment, we're concentrating on the launch. Like I say, there are certain organisations, academic establishments, professionals, individuals that have shown a very keen interest to work with us. You know, like I say, that's everything from Premier League football clubs right through to academics. So what we're planning to do is get... we've got ongoing bits that we're doing at the moment. And things are starting to develop in that respect, and from the launch we expect that there will be other things we'll be engaged in. From that point we'll really know what the first 12 months is going to look like, and once we've sort of settled down formally and launched as an organisation, I think then we'll be looking at a 5-year plan. And we'll have a more realistic time frame with regards to some of the particular subject areas. At the moment, like I say, we know that there are things that we can address via, say, the FA or a football club or whatever it be. Other things such as lobbying Parliament, that might take a little bit longer, you know. So it might be that we say realistically getting mandatory reporting introduced. We aim to do that within 5 years with the help of all the other pressure groups and be a part of pushing that along. Other issues, it might be that actually victim engagement, victim support, importantly, we could probably say, well, actually, that's something that's almost complete. So, you know, all the different subjects have different timescales. So for now, we're just going to let it grow organically and basically see where it leads us.
Fantastic. Well, Ian, I really, really wish you the best of luck with this. It's a fantastic cause. What you guys are doing is absolutely impressive, and I really hope that you're going to get the support that you deserve.
Thanks very much indeed. Much appreciated. And thanks for the time in speaking to me.
My pleasure is all mine, mate. By the way, before I let you go, how can our listeners get in contact with you or actually see how the Save Association are progressing?
Well, we've got social media, Facebook page, Save Association, and also on Twitter, Save Association. You can have a look on there online and just see what's going on. We've been basically drip feeding bits of information and teasers about some of the stuff will be happening. And then on the launch, we will be actually hitting the button and going live on the website at some point in the afternoon. And that will be the main portal, which will give you contact details of emails for information if you want to contact us directly, mobile numbers, etc. So we'll be able to, if people want to get in touch and they want to find out more, or they want to get involved in what we're doing, then they're more than welcome to contact us on any of those platforms, and we'll be happy to speak to them.
Great stuff. Well, thanks again for your time, Ian. Really appreciate it. And hopefully you can come back on the show and tell us more about Save when it develops.
Absolutely. Love to.
Fantastic. Well, I'll speak to you soon, mate.